Renee Duchamp won the championship this season for this week. Our chairperson is the Obanishi, the JAC, conducting interviews with judges in this whole week. We also have an apology from Honorable Richard Janke, who is at the Legislative Commission this week. And they've also applied to Mr. Leonard Benzema from GTA for JAC. We will be joined by another member of the EFF expert analysis soon. But perhaps before we proceed, I see a number of commissioners here today. She also isn't a new chairperson or consular controller, but it's the chair. In the rest of the delegation, I'm sure they'll be introduced soon. Of course, ours is a responsibility to seek annual report, the objective of finalizing our interval reports to the National Assembly that we do annually. We, of course, also looking forward to hear about the human rights metrics that we will reflect on. Report. Earlier this morning, we received a briefing by the Auditor General of South Africa, who just touched on your financial statement in terms of the annual audit. So, maybe reflect on that too, just to let you know. But let me ask the members who just were here present today, so you can see we've attended this week because of the various other obligations that parliamentarians have. But we can start off by introducing ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mama Temba Maseko Jede. I'm representing the ANC and the members of the committee.
Good afternoon, I'm Barry Horn, I'm a member of the committee and from the Democratic Alliance.
Afternoon, my name is Tola Mwana. I am a member of the committee of the African National Congress.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Dr. Kobay Mwana, I represent the Human Rights Plus. Thank you.
Welcome, Dr. Mwana. As we know, colleagues and members, the Human Rights Commission has quite a wide and broad mandate in protecting fundamental rights in terms of not only our constitution, but also the broader mandate through the various instruments that South Africa has significantly to ensure that we continue with our obligations for human rights, the protection of those in particular who are vulnerable, and also those who are not vulnerable. But we will start because so we only have this session for today, the Human Rights Commission. Tomorrow we have three sessions. What we should perhaps do, we received your reports, thank you very much. Our members have been the handout was just given out, the summary, as well as the annual reports, as well as the elements. But let's proceed and ask the chairperson, to perhaps introduce the delegation and thereafter the presentation. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to come back again. When I was last year, I think it was late May or early June, I indicated that Rana, and then next is Commissioner Jonas Sibagnoli. Beyond him is Commissioner Boganda Kamalaji, and then behind them is Commissioner Makweta, Eji Makweta. Behind me is Commissioner Andre Gum, and on the extreme right is Commissioner Chris Nissen. Unfortunately, Commissioner Mohammed Amir Mia is traveling to Geneva today, so he couldn't come. He sends his apology. But we also have the Chief Executive Officer of the Commission, Advocate Tidiso Tipanyane, who is sitting there. And next to him is our parliamentary liaison, Ms. Fadla Adams. At the back is the research advisor to Commissioner Malanji, Mr. Alan Fumbo. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present our report. We note the absence of the chairperson and other members of the committee. We would like to wish them well in the very important work that they are doing, and to pledge our support to it. I do not have any remarks to make today, for the simple reason that last time I made remarks and took quite a lot of time, and there wasn't time for discussion and questions. So what I would like to do is, with your indulgence, Chairperson, to straight away answer that our Chief Executive Officer should present the report when you so require him to do so. Besides that, yes, I do not have any other matter to raise. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. for that introduction. We are enjoying our educate Malasi. Thank you for the present as well as Professor Mount. Okay. I think we look a bit better now for the committee. I think you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson Daniel, and honorable members for this opportunity. Will then go ahead. So our presentation really will be in three parts. Overview of the 2018 performance, and then overview for the financial statements for 2018-2019. And then, as requested, an overview of performance in our first quarter for 2020. And then, just giving a highlight of our performance over the past financial year. As you can see, that we have once more attained six consecutive unqualified audit opinions. And then under our protection mandate, again, we finalized close over 8,000 complaints, and we litigated in about 72 cases, and we did 3 prosecutive reports, so that was actually quite good in view of where we come from over the past 7 years. And then under the protection mandate, again, the Commission is working quite hard to ensure that it is visible and also make South Africans realize its work and the issue around human rights. And we have reached over 90,000 people and also we've partnered with a lot of stakeholders as per the number of MOUs we have signed. And our media profile is also quite high, where we have reached almost 3.5 billion people the last financial year. The next slide basically is just a breakdown of these numbers in terms of print, broadcast, and online. chairperson, we do have a company which actually quantifies our media coverage. So basically our coverage in last financial year was valued at around 250 million rand in terms of free publicity we have gotten through media coverage. Then when we come to our monitoring mandate, again the page highlights some of the work we've done in terms of our research piece on various human rights issues. And then the next page, now this is basically our specific achievement in terms of the strategic objectives and targets which we have set there. In terms of our the four areas of work, in terms of administrative efficiency of our administration, that's our support structure, and our promotion mandate, protection and so forth. Now, the next page basically just highlights some of the reasons where we didn't get 100% achievement in some of the targets we have raised there. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that a number of posts had to be frozen due to, you know, the financial challenges which the Commission has had. And at the end of the last financial year, we actually had to give up one floor of things just to make sure we do have some money. And the next page also highlights some of the challenges around our delivery. Minus all the other good things we have done. Then we move to our financial performance. As we have indicated, you know, we have six consecutive and qualified projects, and we hope we will maintain that, but also address some of the issues that which the AG faced in terms of audit queries and things like that. But as you can see at the bullet 3, we have tried to make sure that service providers are in this aid within the 30 day, and we're also trying to make sure that we pay within and less than the 30 day limit. Then when we go to actual analysis, we realize that we are currently spending 74% of our actual expenditure on personnel costs. And of course, there are attempts to try and reduce this to more appropriate levels. But as we indicated last time, that the bulk of the work of the Human Rights Commission is done by warm bodies. Our complaints handling, our promotional work, and so we will continuously have to spend a bit more on warm bodies than other things. Then our corporate support costs 24% of our budget, and then a combination of our personnel and admin costs goes to around 97.1%. And then when we go to the next page, again, we just a breakdown again of our budget. You can see how much we spend also for audit fees, I think the page will speak for itself. And then the next page is just a breakdown of our 2019 budget, 2020, as it stays there, and I'll quickly go through that. Then I'll come to the last part of our submission, which is the overview of the performance in the first quarter of 2019-2020. As far as the administration program is concerned, we are also still on target, minus a few challenges, of course. Some of the challenges will be met in the next quarter and so forth. So far, we were doing relatively fine. Then the next page, again, still deals with the work being done under administration process. And yeah. And the next page also talks about that as well, including issues around audit plans and resolving audit findings which have been raised. And then the next page talks about our key human mandate, which is the human rights mandate. We talk about the moot court competition. I must just point out that this was successfully concluded in the month of last month, June. It was highly successful. This is done as a joint project with the Department of Justice, Education, and we had kids all over the country from all schools. It was quite successful. And of course, we are also on course to hold our annual human rights dialogue. And I think I'll just keep that there. Then the next page deals with our promotional work in terms of media and communication. Clearly, once more, we are already wrapped up on the target here, I guess due to the increasing interest in the work of the Human Rights Commission. And then the next page is our protection mandate in terms of the complaints handling. Already showing how many cases already dealt with, and of course, as we get more, as there is increasing awareness of around the work of Human Rights Commission, we also see a lot more complaints coming to us. And then the next page really the work around our human rights monitoring mandate. That we've also indicated some of the work we'll be doing, work around the state of human rights record at the provincial level. And then also our prior report is now completed and I think already been submitted to the portfolio committee for the last financial year. And we are working on this. I just need to point out here, Chairperson, that our prior mandate is supposed to be handed over to the information regulator, but unfortunately the enabling law has not yet come into operation. So for the next financial year, we will still be hosting this mandate with very minimal resources. So we're really hoping that the necessary interventions will be made so that the information regulator can take over this mandate, because it's now in transition. But we do have an MOU with the information regulator, and we do host joint events together to make sure that the baby does not collapse before it's handed over to the information regulator. And the next page is again our work around the monitoring work, including engaging with international communities in terms of our mandate. We're still engaging with our international bodies, the network of African national human rights institutions, as well as the Global Alliance of National Human Rights Institutions, and also engaging in a lot of international activities. And then under point four is our work on the optional protocol. As you are aware, from the 20th July this year, the Commission became the national preventive mechanism under the optional protocol, and we began monitoring a number of detention centers around the country, and we're also working with the other such bodies, JICS, IPs, Ministry of Ombudsman, and so forth. And the report here will be due at the end next financial year, at the end of the financial year, which will be submitted to the UN Subcommittee on Prevention of Torture, as well as Parliament. And then five is the work around disability. Our community Krishna and colleagues have just come back from a study tour in Europe on how we can set up a much more effective mechanism to monitor the rights of people with disabilities in our country, but also in line with the expectations of the convention as far as the role of the Human Rights Commission is played. With that, as a person, I would want to end my presentation here, and then we'll take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The presentation was concise. Perhaps let me express our congratulations on the law on the ongoing audit. There's a saying that says you can do a lot when you reduce printing books like you've done. And it's all done on that. I think did you mean 3.5 million people that you reach to your audience?
That's for the whole country. If you look at the next page on that, so we have print media, like newspapers, and then broadcast will be radio, TV, and then online will be internet, Twitter, and stuff like that. Yeah, so what we do then, we have a company which we pay, which all our media companies. So every time our media we check it, and then also check the time we have been on like less on TV, and how much we would have paid, we were paying for that space. So it gives us an idea. But also, you know, the viewership and listenership. So actually, even we sometimes get alarmed that either it's 3 billion or 3 million. But it's actually 3.5 million.
I get you, it's basically viewing that could be one family could be reached in time. So,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the members. Then, of course, before we ask members to ask questions, just on you touch on this, the information related to the transition to the fire. Note that you have MOU, you can perhaps share that MOU in your interest. They will be coming to us tomorrow, I'm sure. So that there's a prospect of processing the report in June that discussing this process. I think they will not be here in time. And you would like to check that appropriate time in terms of the legislation, without certain restrictions at this point, so that we can also contribute. Then you can respond to all this. Then on the, it doesn't indicate that you couldn't find in your financial statement whether they were procurement of about 500,000 pence for items of goods and services without competitive service being invited. They may want to get a reflection on that. And then just on progress on your IT strategy in the last year, was the complete or not achieved at the target. The progress now, we want to keep the current. I know you're reporting to the previous banks. Just want to know that you've been successfully implemented. So if they have, what we're going to do, we're going to take one round, and then you can respond, including the areas I've listed. And then we have a second round. Honorable Horn, and then Honorable Kola, Honorable Secretary, and then Doctor, and then we have Dr. Watson. In that order. Okay, proceed, Honorable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to firstly deal with the issue you've already raised. Ultimately, the problems of the Human Rights Commission in respect of procurement led to a finding now by the Auditor General that there was 2.2 million rand in irregular expenditure. we had a briefing from them this morning, and they, interestingly enough, made a statement that it is for the second year in a row, and that it is in their view because there was not a proper understanding of the law, which, if it is the case, would be interesting but also very concerning. So it is important, I think, Chair, for us to get an answer firstly on whether the Human Rights Commission and the administration of the Human Rights Commission now properly understand supply chain management legislation, firstly, and then secondly, what investigations and consequences have flowed from the 2.2 million rand in irregular expenditure. Then coming to some more performance-related issues, Mr. Acting Chair, it was reported at the time that at the beginning of February this year, the Human Rights Commission had national hearings on xenophobic violence. As I said, the rest is history, and we all know what this country has gone through now and what suffering we have seen, but yet the report is not out yet to the best of my knowledge. So when can we expect it, firstly, and secondly, we are also meeting with the Department of Justice, who has been very negligent in delivering on their own mandate to deliver a national action plan on the combating of xenophobic violence. So I would be very much interested in any event, while the report is possibly still pending, to hear whether the Human Rights Commission, the department, has had engagement so that some of the outcomes of the national hearing at least can inform possibly a speedier process to finalize the national action plan. Then, a previous era, where there was a previous public protector, there was much made of the overlap in function, and at some stage there was a huge emphasis on the Forum for Institutions Supporting Democracy. I want to know whether this forum still not only exists, but functions, and how many meetings have there been in respect of the this forum in this financial year, and whether there's any progress made to prevent the situation of what one can call possibly cross-referencing or cross-referrals of complaints to the institution where it is best suited. And then, Mr. Acting Chair, with your indulgence, the following quite possibly is a continuation of the conversation we started with the Commission the last time round in the media. And that the last time round the conversation turned on their specific finding that they would not be taking the Honourable Malema to the Equality Court for hate speech. On the basis that he added the words "not yet" when he threatened white people with masculine. And maybe just to refresh those commissioners who were not here last time round, we had this discussion with them to say that how do you justify just washing your hands of such a statement if in terms of your own mission and your own statements as to what goals you want to achieve in this country. It talks about the human rights of everyone in this country and deepening an understanding of human rights and entrenching a human rights culture. But what I want to get to today is in addition to that the Human Rights Commission, I want to hear from them whether they understand that even if one is a constitutional body, like the Human Rights Commission, and even if the Constitution says everyone in South Africa should respect and support our Chapter 9 institutions, your ultimate credibility will depend on whether the public at large have confidence in you. And now I want to juxtapose the way the commission dealt with two complaints of late, and then they must please unpack and make me understand why specifically white people in this country should not conclude that the Human Rights Commission in itself is biased against white people. So in the middle of June we had an ambassador of South Africa who by way of social media called white South Africans rapists and thieves. And there was complaints lodged with the Human Rights Commission. One of those from a colleague of mine, a DA member of parliament. And interestingly enough, only in August, once he had been inquired, was he on the same day, was he firstly informed that this, the various complaints turning on the social media utterances of the then ambassador to Denmark was sent to the Gauteng office where one Mr. Guang Jones would be dealing with the matter. Mr. Jones promised on the 27th of September that from there on the complainant would receive monthly updates, but interestingly enough, on the very same day, as if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, one Mr. Matthew de Plessis informed the complainant that there's many complaints on this matter and the commission will in due course release its findings on its website and in other public portals. And then we have at the other hand another ambassador of South Africa, so to speak, a rugby player by the name of Kevin Exeter, who we all know now stands accused of racism. And in this specific case, it would seem that the Human Rights Commission is much more eager to inform the public as to what is going on the one hand. But on the other hand, it would seem that in its attempts to possibly drive the media as they seem to value, they are themselves eroding human rights. So for example, the very famous that Long Jones has said that Mr. Etterbeck, that Mr. Etterbeck used to get away with murder, that he should come back to South Africa to face the charges, and basically in his engagements with the community in the West Coast have found Mr. Etterbeck guilty already. So I want to understand why on the one hand there's deafening silence when a formal ambassador of South Africa call white people rapists and thieves, and on the other hand there is a bumbling, stumbling attempt to get attention, and in the same vein there is absolute disregard for the rule of law. And the Human Rights Commission must explain to us if the United Nations says there can be no culture of human rights in the absence of the rule of law, how can they justify a situation where their own spokesperson is not giving the accused in the other case the benefit of the doubt until he faces his day in court?
Thank you. Members, try to be brief as possible without limiting you. Of course, the latter part of the question, as you will decide whether you are busy investigating, then you do not have to go into detail. But if you leave the discussion to the then we have Honourable Paula.
Thanks, Chair. Welcome the presentation by the Commission. Pose some questions, Chair. One, the Commission must request a relevant local state to provide information on measures taken towards the realization of social economic rights under the Constitution. I want to check with regard to that, do they find any problems in soliciting the human rights report from the organs of state, and if the answer is in the ability, which organs of state are reluctant in bringing reports as it requests, as it human life. A chair, part of what he said to be the mandate is to carry out a research and educate the nation about human rights, whether there is violation or not. Chair is one to check. We are having the government what we term as the triple challenges of the country, which amongst those is the inequality, which I think is the transgression of the Equality Clause, Section 9 of the Constitution. What our program in place did the Commission design in ensuring that they have the country care what we say is part of the triple challenges of inequality, in particular on class and on race. There is a huge inequality when it comes to the Commission Chair is making mention of some litigation that it has been involved in terms of addressing the issues that have transgressed human rights. I want to check with the Commission on how do they then solicit legal representation as a legal entity, Commission itself. And if they do not mind briefing the committee on the actual briefing pattern, if they are briefing counsel, they must brief us of their briefing pattern in terms of the cases that they've been partners in. Chair, on issues of xenophobia, the country has just been in a serious as it relates to issues of xenophobia. In particular, the recent occurrences in both Swane and Johannesburg, where some determined the act as pure fight against criminality, and some amongst the stakeholders of society saying xenophobia against, in particular, the citizens from African countries. Can you get a sense from the Department, I mean the Commission, its role in that calamity and the advice it can give to the counter of those occurrences in check? This awareness program that they are raising. To be quite honest with you, Commissioner, I grew up in the Esmeralda in our Eastern Cape. It is when I was about to exit the university that I knew that there was something called the Human Rights Commission, which may have an implication that maybe the knowledge about the existence of the Commission itself may be in some portion of the country and may not be in some of the portions of the country, in particular in the places where our most disadvantaged and downtrodden people live, in particular in Mali. You may go to St. Chair and find that people are aware of the existence of the Human Rights Commission. But when you go to town in the Bovo Advocate Mulaud in Seychelles, in the deep rural, there is no knowledge of such a commission in existence. When you go in the deep rural of the Eastern Cape in Mizar, there is no knowledge of such a. I want the commission to brief us on the design of how do they raise awareness, what kind of population do they target. But I believe, Chair, that we must take serious the our people. When I'm going to answer to finish, there is what is said, the right to basic education continues to be violated through school the resource distribution. If they can expand that, what do they mean? What is it that they think of hate speech? Paying that we are moving fastly towards the digital world. And the vast majority of our people are actively using what we call social media, where some find utterances that may qualify to be speech. What mechanisms does the commission have to monitor how our people behave in the social media space? There's an issue of frozen posts, which I think you said they tried for something. The issue of frozen posts, what effect they have in the performance of the commission. Was the number one, you set up an organogram with the specific functions of each and every office. But when you freeze some of them, it means they're going to be an effect that they are going to cause. But moving forward, you said you are going to fill some of the critical posts in the 2019-2020 financial year, as I'm concluding. I just want to check.
You already concluded.
Yes, I'm concluding. I just want to check what you mean by critical posts. Which posts are those that qualify to be critical? I will not finish here, but let me get back to some.
I'm sure you will get another chance. Thank you, Honorable Kola. Just we have the commission in terms of those fourth Honorable Kola given. I think it's section 32 important in terms of other departments that have this sort of matter. You may want to elaborate on that. I think that other one more. With regards to social cohesion in the Zenobia report for 2018, and whether that was concluded or not. We didn't hear anything from you during the top parliament of faith. This is referring to that one. So just to be more specific. I think I've got Honourable Tekaj.
Thank the Human Rights Commission for the presentation of the documentation.
We are said to have a good constitution. Some say it's the best in the world, I don't say so, but it's a good constitution. And chapter 2 of that constitution deals with human rights, which is the cornerstone of the whole constitutional dispensation. And then I go to chapter 9, state institutions supporting constitutional democracy, and the second one being mentioned there is the Human Rights Commission. The point I'm trying to make is that the Human Rights Commission is one of the cornerstones, one of the most important institutions in our constitutional dispensation, and it should be. And then the Constitution says in 181.2 that these institutions are independent, subject only to the Constitution and the law. They must be impartial and must exercise their powers and perform their functions without fear, favor, or prejudice. From the party that I belong to, we've had different interactions with the Commission over many years. And I'm sorry to say that most of them were negative. Negative in what sense? That during the years we've made many complaints on various issues, and in most cases the outcomes were, to say the least, very discouraging and unacceptable. Now, in your report, and we discussed that, the 3.5 million, that's a huge number, and we are informed that that is the correct number. I think the mistake you are making is to think that if there's something broadcast on TV news tonight and the Human Rights Commission is mentioned, then you want to accept that each and every person whose TV is switched on has taken note of that. I don't think that's correct, but be that as it may. But the point I would like to make is, if you look at that specific schedule, okay, on the right you've got positive sentiment, neutral sentiment, and negative sentiment. And you will see yourselves that the positive sentiment would make up about a third. Two-thirds of respondents would be neutral, not positive, not negative. They're just neutral about the Human Rights Commission. And 1% would be negative. My prediction is that will change quite soon, I believe, to the negative. And I'll come to that just now. My problem is, and that's about the whole question, what we perceive as the double standards within the Commission. And specifically, how it deals with human rights violations, how it deals with complaints, that deals with hate speech, one was already mentioned. I can give you a long list of complaints that we've had, and we've had no satisfaction in that regard. You've also mentioned a list of 72 cases that have been forwarded to the Equality Court. And I would ask, if possible, if such a list could be made available, I would like to have a look at that specific list. It's of utmost importance that the Human Rights Commission should act in terms of Section 181.2, only answering to the Constitution, without fear, favor, or prejudice. I want to give you another example. But with regard to double standards, the question was mentioned of how the Kevin Exhibit case is being handled at the moment. And we all have taken note of that. Yesterday morning, the chairperson, Commissioner Moyola, was on the radio and he was asked about that, and his reply was those utterances of Mr. Jones that he has not taken note of that and he will look into it. I would like to know, has he since yesterday morning taken note of those utterances, and what would his reply be? Because this is another commissioner, he's the head of your legal department, and he's out there like a Spanish inquisitor. Today again, he's announced on Twitter he will be visiting a high school in Gauteng. And even now, he arrives at 12 o'clock. Now, is that the way that the Commission operates? I don't know. I would like to know. I would like to refer to the case of Peter Dessel and Mrs. Apime Mtsweni. I don't know if you're familiar with that. You should be. It happened in February of this year, and the complaint was handed to the Commission. And I can give you the gruesome details of what was said about Mr. Dessel on Facebook by Mr. Mtsweni. Absolutely hate speech, racist, terrible things. The complaint was given to the Commission in February. What happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. After, once again, trying to get some information, 6 months later, in August, there was a reaction to say that the Commission takes note that they will have to deal with this issue in August. We are now October. Up to this point, no contact was ever made with Mr. Basil to ask his point of what happened or what is interaction from his side. Nothing at all. In contradiction to that, I take the Kevin Exhibit case. Clearly, to anybody out there, There's a attempt by the Commission, as Mr. Jones quite clearly stated, we want to make an example of this person. Now, whether we like it or not, when Mr. Jones goes out there and say those things, he speaks on behalf of the Human Rights Commission of South Africa. On behalf of all of you, he is your spokesperson and he's reporting in the media. I would like to see that the Commission is credible, that the Commission is even-handed in its approach. If we look at what is expected of the Commission in terms of Human Rights Commission in terms of the Constitution, look at Section 184.1, because human rights are the cornerstone of this constitutional dispensation. What are you supposed to do? You must promote respect for human rights and a culture of human rights. If you look what's happening in the country at the moment, have you succeeded? Are you happy that you have success in that regard? And I know I can't say that about the current commissioners as such. Commissioners have been in existence since 1996 when the Constitution came to be. We're supposed to promote and protect development and attainment of human rights. The point I'm making is, I don't want to see the Human Rights Commission fail or not be seen to be credible. But I can assure you that the credibility of the Commission at the moment, because of double standards, I specifically refer to the Elizabeth case, I can refer you to the BLS case, the thing that Mr. Kikama said in Potchefstroom, there were complaints, nothing happened. Mr. Malema was mentioned. The ESF was mentioned in terms of human election complaints, 2015 complaints. Why should we take the Commission seriously in that regard? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have a
chat from you? But equally, freedom transplants are the last people to lecture us about freedom, about human rights. They are the last people to do that.
Not a problem.
Right. issue of performance management, whether you have a system of performance management and the performance bonus in the commission. And also for the year under review 2018, whether the performance bonuses were awarded for the commissioners and the employees during 2018-2019. During the fifth parliament, the commission we discussed about the central resolution of the commissioners in this particular committee. And the commission pledged that by the beginning of the 2018-2019, this will be done in terms of rights of all commissioners. We just want to know if they updated far with the central organization as we agreed on the fifth parliament.
Thank you. I think that those are the questions of the members. You can start to respond. Thank you. I don't know, Chair, if you want to start or Mr. CEO if you want to respond to
Well, Chair, perhaps let me try to deal with some of the questions that have been raised. And then my colleagues are here today, and they will deal with some of them. May I just ask that if I don't deal with all the questions I need to deal with, I also be allowed to raise my hand and answer some of them. I know that there are two types of questions. There are questions that merit short, brief answers, but that there are also other questions that may merit longer explanations. May I then start with the issue that was raised by Honorable Mola about the xenophobia and what is the role of the Commission? And I would like to thank the Honorable Member for raising these questions because they touch on some of the challenges that the Commission comes across, and they touch on a challenge that I mentioned when I addressed the sixth parliament the last time, and that is the issue of the enforcement of the recommendations of the Commission and the non-responsiveness of the executive. That day I said that in terms of the Constitution, Parliament has got the oversight over the executive, and I appealed to the committee that it will help us if there is greater oversight over the executive. Among others, you write and you need to get an appointment in May, after May 10, and you're still waiting for the first answer up to now. And so that slows down things that you need to do. But going back to xenophobia, you may have heard that in 2008, there was a big problem with xenophobia, and the Commission did an investigation and made a report on xenophobia and made certain recommendations to government and various departments in government to say these should be done so that we try to curb this problem. And that report has very largely not been implemented on the side of government. So what we are doing is that we try to engage with government. We try to engage with the SAPs, we try to engage with Home Affairs. Unfortunately, there is a limit to which we can do things, but we try our best to do education. We try our best to meet people from other places and so on. So it is a problem that requires the combined efforts of everybody, the police, Home Affairs, ourselves, and many others that need to come together in order to deal with the problem of xenophobia. outside of that, South Africa is suffering from inequality, as has been said, but also poverty and unemployment. And unemployment actually triggers or contributes quite largely to xenophobia. So there is a need to jack up the economy of the country so that more people in the country can also get employment. We do have under Section 31A, Roman figures 1, the obligation to recommend the government whenever we think that certain action can contribute to the human rights of anyone, including foreign nationals. And we do that from time to time. And the government has to also play a part. I'm not blaming the government, but I'm just saying that there needs to be greater cooperation between us and the various departments of government. And then your second question about people not knowing about the Human Rights Commission, that's absolutely true. I was in Eastern Cape in April of last year, and I went to a clinic in some place, and I said I'm from the Human Rights Commission, and the sisters, they said, what? They didn't understand what it's about. And so we need the commission to do more in order to reach those places. But I must tell you that the distances are very vast, and it requires resources. And again, we are told that our budget is going to be cut. We have the smallest budget. Yes, we have what somebody said, that the commission is number 2 on the list. But yes, we've got a very, very limited budget with which to do these things. You need to travel. You need to, if staff have to go from East London to many of those places, they may have to sleep there and what have you, and so it's costly. And we don't have the resources, but also we don't have the numbers of people that can do those things. What we have done in the past and continue to do is to piggyback on the public protector, because they have more money and they do these road shows, and we go with them, and we talk about the Human Rights Commission. We also have decided, in fact, the very first week we got in, we said that we need to befriend community radios and use community radios to publicize the work of the commission. And that happens in some places, but in other places it doesn't happen. Why? Because community radios also require funding for their programs. And so they say, I want to give us funding, and we don't have funding, and sometimes that case. So these challenges, I think we need to look at the failures of the commission on one hand, but also on the challenges of the commission. We are going to lose 10 million in our budget for next year. Where are we going to get the money to replace that 10 million in order for us to be able to reach far and wide? We do outreaches all the time, from time to time, but you know, we have these very big limitations in terms of staff and other resources. With regard to the pros and cons, I think the word call will answer that. May I jump to the equality courts as to what we are doing with the equality courts? The structure of the equality courts is such that it is actually in the hands of the Department of Justice, and they have the mandate to promote the equality. Number one, we are to participate in the promotion of the Equality Courts through the Equality Review Board, or the Equality Review Committee. But ever since I came to the Commission, I've never attended a single Equality Review Committee, because the committee has never met, and in fact the committee doesn't exist. I'm one of the members, but there are a number of other members that have not been appointed, and so we have been having quarterly meetings with the Deputy Justice Minister under the Fifth Parliament, and it has been a standing issue on the agenda, but until the end of the Fifth Parliament it hasn't happened. We have requested a meeting with the Minister of Justice since June. We're waiting to hear whether we'll get the appointment, so that we can raise, among others, the issue quite concerned about the fact that they are not fully utilized because they are the easiest and the much more cheaper way of access to justice in issues of equality. Chairperson, there was also the question about the centralization of the commissioners, if I understood well. I think that would be my who wanted to find out what happened with regard to the issue. I recall that the chairperson of the portfolio committee under the fifth parliament actually even issued a statement about the matter. And subsequent to that, as commissioners, we had hoped for some guidance from the portfolio committee. But in the absence thereof, we did decide that commissioners would be located in Johannesburg, and Commissioner Jana has then moved. Commissioner Gam is supposed to move at the end of this year, so that all commissioners are in, all full-time commissioners are in Johannesburg. Thank you.
Thank you.
That has struck me quite deeply, and that is about the question of Elizabeth and Nelson Mandela and the two statements. I don't know how you can equate the two, because they're two different historical circumstances developing. Yes, we entered into a phase where we decided to go on truth and reconciliation, and yes, we did make a lot of sacrifices to achieve that. But that doesn't wipe out the history and the historical experiences of people. You cannot just say that Zindi Mandela can now stand up in Denmark as ambassador and say everything is hunky-dory. She talked about her own perception, her own experiences so much. And I think that is acceptable. One cannot wipe out your history, sir. You know, many of us have suffered. You may respond after finish. And you can. But no matter how much we are involved and committed to steering a new country and bringing about truth and reconciliation and harmony among the people of this country, you cannot wipe out the history. And I think Zindi, I'm not condoning what Zindi said, but I think there's a lot of mitigation of her own experience, her own suffering that she underwent from 2 years old. And what she said in Denmark was part of the projection of her own experience. Thank you.
Thank you. The Commissioner Gong, you want to respond?
I just wanted to respond to both Honorable Horn and Honorable Wonder with regard to the matters they raised. Honorable Horn, as far as the Mandela matter is concerned, his remark that I'm not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least not for now. I think we had a discussion during the last meeting, as far as that is concerned. We have explained also that there were a number of complaints throughout the country. We specifically requested as a commission that all these complaints we should get an update on it. We were not happy with the view at that point in time, and it does not amount to hate speech, and we then appointed a senior counsel to look into the matter, and the conclusion from all of that was that it did not equate to hate speech, and that therefore was eventually the decision as far as that is concerned. And then on a lighter note, may I say that I not long ago had discussion with one of your own colleagues on the matter, who is also of the view that did not require to see. So in the end, we need to follow the law as far as that is concerned. There is a new complaint against Mr. Malema, which we are looking into with the view of taking it to the Equality Court. I think it is reported on also on the front page of the book today. We are at the same time, as I understand, dealing with Dharma to the Equality Court, as well as the Secretary General of the PLF, who also made very problematic remarks that seemed to be prima facie hate speech. So I think for the record it should be quite clear that we are not only zooming into certain matters and you know, when it is about white people, we wash our hands. That is simply not correct. And I want to say also that this commission, the commissioners sitting around the table, the eight commissioners, I really do find that we have sometimes fierce debates about matters, whatever the case may be, but what comes out of those meetings is really independent decisions, decisions I think that I also can live with. Now let's go to the matter of the ambassador in Denmark. I also regard those remarks as problematic, and if I recall, if my memory serves me well, I actually made a call, I think it was to the chair, on that very day when I read about these remarks, and requested that we look into the matter, and that is how you know, we then started also looking into that particular matter. If there is no progress as far as that is concerned, and I really want to actually invite all members of Parliament, that if there is not progress with regard to a matter and you feel it should be followed up, please be free to contact the commissioners. Yeah, we will follow it up for you. That is an open invitation. Matters can't just get stuck and not get any attention at all. As far as the different matter is concerned, my view and that of other commissioners was from the very outset, also Commissioner Nelson, that the facts need to be established. There is a factual dispute. If the facts show that he is guilty of violation of human rights in terms of remarks that he made or whatever, then he should obviously, you know, take the consequences. If the facts, on the other hand, establishes something else, then, you know, there are consequences following as far as that is concerned. So the facts need to be established. And the forum that we have now, I mean, we haven't done our own investigation, came up with findings and specific directives, whatever the case may be. The route we have taken now is the route of the Equality Court. So that is how the forum will have to establish the facts, the law must take its course, etc. With regard to the, some of the alleged remarks by, because they were reported in the media about, but there are still alleged remarks we need to hear from, we need to apply our alter ego and hear from Mr. Jones what exactly he had to say as well. Some of these might be on Twitter, whatever the case may be, where there wouldn't be a factual dispute as to what they said. But we have taken a decision yesterday, and you mentioned that the chairperson said on Radio Summer Creator that he would have a look at these remarks and so on. We did take very specific decisions yesterday as the commission. And the one decision is that there should be an urgent determination made under the leadership of the chairperson to see whether Mr. Wong Jones can continue with this investigation, given or with this matter, given the alleged remarks made. Secondly, we took another resolution to say that there should also be a full investigation as to these alleged remarks that have been made. It is of critical importance that the Commission is living up to the constitutional imperatives of being independent, of being impartial, and act without fear, favour, or prejudice. And I can really say from my side, where I'm sitting, that there is a concerted effort among all commissioners to do exactly that. In instances where you would, for example, as members of parliament, experience, you know, that there might be bias on the paper, once again, please pick up the phone, call a commissioner, we can follow up as far as that is concerned. I have been the one who, for example, when I saw Agretti's remarks on in the Zondo Commission, I immediately asked that we would. But in the same way, I also immediately requested when the ambassador in Denmark made those remarks and be investigated. That's how we should act as a commissioner. That is how we really try to act as commissioners. In that commission, I have never seen that because it's now a white person, for example, it's hands off. And because it's now a, you know, if it's a black person or the K word, whatever, then suddenly there is an effort to immediately do something about it. That is really not how this commission should operate. That is not my experience of how we are operating at all. If there are undue delays, if you experience in certain circumstances bias, please bring it to our attention that we can address it, as we have addressed the alleged problematic remarks from Mr. Jones yesterday, and reporting to you on it today.
Chairperson, can I talk quickly to the delay in releasing the social cohesion and the Columbia investigation report? Chairperson has already touched on the non-responsiveness of the leader that we work with in government. When we issue a report, we send it to people who participated in the investigation for them to read through, add whatever they add, press, and sometimes those letters go on forever. Now, with the recent Delafonte violence, we are taking action. Our deputy chair signed some letters yesterday inviting Home Affairs and SAPS and other relevant government departments to a roundtable discussion, because we just feel that doing another investigation will take time, it will take money. We want to go back to the previous recommendations that have been made by this commission and to find out why they have not been implemented, and then to follow up. Because another investigation is not going to yield anything different. Thank you, Chair.
Well, we agree with you. The point is that the report needs to be finalized before it can take particular recommendation. We will appreciate that. We take that for now. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Honourable Member, I want also to mention that as the South African Human Rights Commission, we have established a legal subcommittee of the Human Rights Commission whose duties and functions will see and look at the complaints that the Human Rights Commission has received, and also to find out whether or not there are certain cases or complaints that are lagging behind so that they should not be exempt. This legal subcommittee has been established in July. It's still a new
thank you. CEO, you may include also just the size of your establishment in this necessary.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just start on the issue of the quality complaints? This morning I received a request from the Chairperson of Human Rights Commission to investigate the alleged remarks made by Mr. Juan Jones on the London matter, and he has been duly informed, and he's also been advised not to engage in the media until on this matter until the issue is being clarified. Chairman, I just want to say, you know, over the last 24 years, next year will be 25 years, I think it's proper that the Human Rights Commission must be assessed objectively when it comes to its work around equality metrics. 2017, when I returned to the Human Rights Commission, we took a case against Edward Zuma. We went to court, we won, the UN went, filed a claim and contempt of court, we won. We have taken BLF to court, we won. Last year, BLF came to the commission and assaulted me and took my head to and we are being accused of being agents of white monopoly country. We have taken cases against John Bolani, we've taken cases against Osatu. So what worries me sometimes that when we take a few cases against white people, it's always a reaction. So I just want to appeal to this committee that over the last 2 years, let honorable members of this committee look at the mental spectrum with under equality and see what percentage. Because there's been this concern that, you know, when we take cases against black people, we are anti, we are white, and pro-white. I was called an agent of white local culture at my face. BLF went and put things on social media. I never had this committee say anything to protect this human rights commission, where we are duty bound by Section 91 to protect the dignity and power of this commission. So we should be assessed for that. And Madam America, as the chairperson of the commission pointed out, we made a finding. We'll be taking on review. We took the flag case with Nelson Mandela, we'll take it forward. So we do our work without fear of it and without prejudice. Where we are wrong, take us to court. We'll explain. We can explain to this committee the last 2 years, the quality case we're handling, so that people make proper judgment. Not just people saying you are anti-white and anti-black. Every time we take a case, there's always some bold reaction on one side, and I think this committee should be aware of that. Now, let me go to the other issue then. Chair, on the issue of the IT strategy, the IT strategy is being implemented. A new one will come out at the end of this year. We actually have employed consultants to actually look at the health status of our IT strategy, whether it's viable or not. We've had a number of challenges with our video conferencing, but now we've got new servers, we've increased our bandwidth, so it's getting better. But we are keeping an eye on that. And due to the number of problems we have in the organization, I actually asked IT people to report to me. Now, on the procurement, above the so-called individual expenditure, there was a misunderstanding as far as treasury guidelines were concerned. Our staff members use the treasury rules which deals with expenditure above 1 million, not below 1 million. And there was a mistake made, even when it comes to not pick this up. And we had a discussion with the AG about this. We said, okay, you should also use the other one. So there was that confusion. So nobody was sanctioned. It was explained to the AG. I was there to the audit committee. It was there. So nobody was thinking. So there's not a lack of proper understanding that colleagues relied on one document and another. But it might also explain other things. We were asked about the CFO. We unfortunately had to part ways with the CFO a few weeks ago. He was suspended in December last year, and eventually we were to part ways with him to the CCMA, and we won the team. So there are a number of things which we also have to do to say that what was going on in the organization as far as this concerned. Now, the second question was about overlapping functions. The FIV, the Forum of Independent Democracy, okay. Is still functioning, and there was a meeting actually was scheduled this week, which was postponed, I think it was the 17th of October. But Chair, you recall that in the last Parliament you were here, and we're told that Parliament will reconsider the issue of the Kara Asma report as far as some of these issues are concerned. But we also have MOUs with Child Protector, giving one the Gender Commission, and we're seeing that we should work much more closer together. So the forum of the institutions, which also include the forum of accounting officers, is designed to try and minimize this work. And that's why, I mean, this year we are actually building the information regulator to work much more closer to together. Now, on the issues of you know, challenges of making reports in cooperation with public bodies. Since 2017, when I've been back, we have raised our concerns with the number of public bodies which still do not report to the Human Rights Commission in terms of Section 32 of PAIA. The report has been tabled with yourselves on PAIA, a latest report. It's quite alarming that the number of public bodies which are still not complying with this report is actually getting worse for local government, and some certain institutions are also not reporting. Maybe because of the fishing, we really don't know, but they will also engage with our colleagues about this matter. Now, we are concerned, of course, about the issues of triple challenges, equality, class, and race. We have four overarching mandates of the Commission, as we presented here the last time on our strategic vision and plan and whatever. That we have issues of equality, poverty, unemployment, and violence. And we are saying, whatever we do in the Commission, we need to understand that. And you can check, can test it against this as to what we've been doing in the last financial year, even in this financial year, as far as investigations of human rights are concerned. On the litigation patterns, Honourable Member of Parliament, we try to use our own lawyers in the Commission. We have nine provincial officers, which has been accorded law clinic status. We have an arrangement with law society where they send their article class to us. Actually, a few weeks ago, we actually graduated our first attorney in Boko office, who now passed the exams to come and attain. However, on big matters, we've had the privilege of being approached by many big firms on pro bono basis to take some of the work with us, and we do that. But you know, we also subscribe to issues of affirmative action, so we need to ensure that, you know, we do actually give preference to female practitioners outside. So we'll be happy to provide a list of all the lawyers whom we have briefed as a Commission to show reflection whether we have taken into account the issues of transformation of the legal profession through our briefing patterns. We are quite concerned ourselves about this. Yes, I do agree that the 3.5 billion does not mean 3.5 billion people reached. That's how the media work, but it is an indicator as to how far we're going in trying to reach a whole lot of people. Now, our moot court competition, which we have joined this financial Department of Education and Justice, will give us a major opportunity to reach out to rural schools. Because this financial year, the competition is now compulsory in all public schools for grade 10 and 11. And we come at the tail end where we host the national moot competition, which was held at the Constitutional Court. Judge Cameron and others were there. And we gave an award to learners from Mr. Taylor. Basically, this means now the Human Rights Commission, through this moot court, is able to reach almost all public schools in this country where this competition is done. It's now compulsory, part of the English curriculum by the Department of Best Education. And we are helping schools in rural areas to prepare them for the moot court. So we are concerned, of course, about issues of rural coverage, and we're quite aware of the systems, and we ourselves know that we're not being in all areas. I've been saying to my colleagues that if there's something in time, we need to prepare that and show over the last 25 years what rural areas were reached and which ones were not reached, and how to do this. But also, with the 3.5 billion, we're also using a lot of labor community radio stations to reach that. So yes, we might not have been feasible. But certainly where we could have radios, the city, all the other people, radio stations, is definitely a much better coverage than we had before. Social media, we do monitor social media. We're actually looking into getting a one where we can actually spend a lot of time. But we do also take a lot of complaints also on social media. So when something comes on Twitter, we check it and we act on it. And we are quite concerned, of course, that there's a lot of violations which are now coming through Twitter, which we have to understand. The issue of frozen posts, just give you a background. Last year, we got a directive from Treasury that we need to reduce our staff component, our staff, our human resource budgetary allocation from 78% to 55%. And we've been told we should, you know, otherwise we are going to have serious financial challenges. So we have to clean the number, of course. It has had an impact on the work of the Commission, but it's also an opportunity in many ways for us to figure out how better we can do our work with fewer resources, because we've been told that, and I think we're told by the chairperson of this committee the last time we were here, that actually we need to learn to live with the reality of budgetary cuts. And we've been told by the session that, you know, there might be further cuts coming. So definitely it means that if there are further cuts, we have to, you know, reduce our staff component. So what we have done is to freeze posts to avoid retrenchment, because retrenchment is very, very bad. 1 week per year you've worked. And we're trying as hard as possible to minimize that. So we are keeping an eye on that. And of course, where that critical pose, we try and make amends and see. So yes, there have been some knocks there and there because of posts which have been frozen. But clearly, the Collective Commission has not collapsed. In fact, in some areas, we are failing, especially when it comes to our promotional work as well as, you know, our litigation work. So now trying to get colleagues to be more innovative in how they do work because of, you know, the challenges we have. Now, on the issue of consultants, my colleague has given me a note today of the number of consultants that we've had. So, for this financial year, we had to employ 2 young researchers to help us with OPCAT to monitor the detention centers. This Monday came in 20 July, and we have to monitor 1,000 plus police stations. There's only 4 warm bodies in there. That's Commissioner Nathan, another senior detention, and these 2 people who have to go all over the country monitoring police stations. I was here over the weekend going to 2 police stations with Commissioner Nathan, so that, because we have to give a report next year to the UN. So how many places we visited, what have we found, and what recommendations we are making. And of course, we're asking Treasury to give us more money than that. Then we are planning to do an inquiry in the Colombian Eastern Cape, and we're happy to get a consultant to help us to do this work. And then also we have another young person who's helping us with the wood cotton. So for the wood cotton, the Commission has allocated 1 million rand, and we had only 2 people, and we had to then get an extra woman to help us manage this competition, because the Lake Winter Railroad is where all the winners from the province come to join us, like 120 winners who come here for the finals. We prepare them, they run the competition until we get to the final stage on Sunday. So our staff members have to are responsible for this work, and we actually spent 1 million from the Justice Department that gave us 800,000 rand to do this. And we've been doing this, and therefore as the competition gets more popular, we'll definitely be getting more money, and we'll be asking Treasury to give us more money on that. And then, yes, the issue of positive negative coverage will always be there. But I want to believe that the Commission has far more positive media coverage than it has had in the past 2-3 years. We are recently doing an investigation in Hammanskraal. We came here to the Portfolio Committee on Environment, Water, and Environment, and Parliament actually intervened on the situation.
done, we're doing it to finish our inquiry in Val, where municipalities are dumping sewage in the Val River. We're doing a hearing in Uganda, and there'll be many more events. So definitely, and the commissioners are going all over the country to do provincial visits, and maybe they will also reach out to rural communities. So there'll always be negative public concerns, but I think it's more positive. Even Coca-Cola has negative people despite its massive international reach. But you are the best judges of that, but I want to believe that the commission is actually doing better than before, despite all these problems. Then, so the issue of double standards, I mean, the people who wrote that is aware, but as I said before, let us judge us on what we do, on an objective standard, not perception, because sometimes we get judged on perception, and people make perceptions very easy. So I forgot to mention that, yes, we are actually investigating the case of Miss Mandela, and I'm told now that she actually has got a lawyer, senior counsel to defend on this matter. It has taken a bit long, but certainly the matter is on the table. We are investigating that matter. And then on the issue of as far as vacancies are concerned, as I mentioned, we had to part ways with the CFO, so we only won the case last month. We were very excited, our good colleagues to advertise the post. We had also advertised the post of the head of legal services. We unfortunately didn't get anyone through our website. We tried the media. We didn't get anyone, but suitable. So now we have to consider whether we should actually use a recruitment agency. Now that's quite expensive. So we'll wait and see until the 27th of the end of October as to how much of our budget we cut. Because we've been told that 10 million will be cut. And we're told that if we cut 10 million of our budget, we will have to retrench to 6 million. And we have to give up 1 million for the good court and a few others who are really playing there. Our budget will not be cut. We are too small. We are only a budget of 189 million rands. So, the question, currently we have about 169 staff members in the commission. But that's how small we are. And then, yes, I've had issues with our campus. Now, yes. And then, disability, we had two persons in the commission with disability. One design, so we're left with one. I know the Commissioner Malachi has been telling me that we must lead by example. That's why we approached the EU to give us funding of 65,000 euros to send him and colleagues from the Commission and from outside the Commission to do a study tour and come back to tell us exactly how best can we set up the disability monitoring commission. So we're still waiting for a report from him to access that. So definitely we do have to increase this target. Performance budget, commissioners do not get performance bonuses. Their salaries are addressed at a different level. But my commissioners have raised a concern that there is definitely discrimination in how my commissioners are being paid compared to other chaplain institutions and other statutory bodies. So for example, you take information every day. It's a very small organization of importance with a budget of about 30 million, I think. We are at 189. But the chair of the commission, of the commission every day, has far more than my chair. The commissioner has far more than my commissioner. And so there's inconsistencies. It has to be addressed. What informs? We've met the public, the office bearers of the commission to raise this concern that, if you look at the salary scale from public protector, IEC, human rights commission, why this discrepancy and what informs them. So unfortunately they don't get a bonus, sub members do. Then I think the chair said the issue of centralization of the commissioners, that is for the commissioners to address. I don't know if I've covered all the questions, my handwriting is failing me.
Okay.
should I think I can answer what I can see on my notes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think you answered most of the questions. Sometimes the easier application, and if you really, really persist, want to conclude the process.
I too was a member of parliament for 7 years, from 1994 to 2001. So you have the power to bring about a change in our society. I do believe that. And I would like to know, first of all, it's a known fact that poverty is determined on race in our country. There's no doubt about that. And we have one of the most unequal societies in the world. And we know that discrimination in every sphere is extremely rife. And not only that, it's on the rise. I would like to know from you as legislators, what is your vision to bring about a change, a radical change in our society? Thank you.
No, thank you very much. For that, we will, after each encounter, as I said, it will be a real treat when we engage you on that question in the response. I saw one hand. I want to get to the subject of the conclusion of another meeting here. Is there a commissioner who still wants to say something before I conclude from their side? You can proceed, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Malachi.
Chair, I just want to put it on record that, Chair, with regards to employment of people with disability, we as a human rights commission, we are really doing everything that we could in terms of engaging the department concerned so that they comply with the legislation that is there. You know, but in terms of the Employment Equity Act, stated there that at least departments must employ at least 2% of their force be persons with disabilities. So we're really engaging the Department of Public Service Commission in trying to see to it that they implement these provisions of the Act. But it's not only in terms of public service. We have as a commission also engaged the JSE in terms, because we believe that it's not only the public service of government that must comply with the Act, also the private sector must also comply. So we have engaged the GSE, so that they start implementing these provisions. So we agreed that funding permitting will have to meet with the first 100 companies, big companies, on the list of GSE, just to tell them and, that, look, it's not only government that must by the Act. You also the private sector you have. So these are some of the things that we're trying to do in trying to see that the 2% quota that is in the Act is implemented. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munachi. All right. Very, very, very briefly, Commissioner, listen, you also
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few things. I mean, obviously a lot of questions been asked, and I wish we could engage more on it. But with regard to the NPM, we will probably come back to you to talk about that, because if you see what this IPEC's report today on those cases against the police, and so that's why the NPM, National Preventive Mechanism, is an important part of OCAT. But we'll come back and do a fuller presentation to you on it. With regard to the non-responses, it's mostly also the municipalities. Most of the municipalities aren't responding, and that's where those socioeconomic Christ are being violated on a daily basis, and so we need to look at that and how we can address that. I've been with the Exodus, and I've always maintained innocence until proven guilty. He must participate in the World Cup and bring the cup to the World Cup to us back here. But also at the same time, I was also with Mr. Wang Jones, and I think there's a context that we need to look at. And I hope that this investigation would look at all of those things and so on, and it not be a wish chance against Mr. Jones, but just in terms of making sure in terms of transparency and credibility of the whole process. But there are many other issues, Chairperson, but I want to thank the members of the committee. And yes, the Human Rights Commission is not without criticism. And where we do not think right, not only you as our oversight body over us, but also the broader public must take us to task. Thanks.
Thank you. We want to thank the Commission. I think there was a hand. Do you still want to speak, Dr. Mulder? I thought they responded to all your questions. Sorry?
No, they did not.
I'm sure they will respond to you in writing afterwards, but you can pose it as a follow-up, not the original question, because we want to conclude. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I'd like to thank the commissioners for their feedback and answers they gave. And I understand the question of perceptions on the one hand, in terms of what perceptions create and what facts would be. Maybe the best solution would be, and I've asked for that, to mention in the report the 72 cases to the Equality Court. Perhaps you should draw up a list and make that available, that people can have a look at the facts in that regard and act on that behalf. That's all I would like to request. Thank you.
Thank you very much, it's very constructive. Member Jerry.
There's this issue of department not assisting in responding on the request of the commission. I think the committee must take that responsibility in elevating that issue. I think they must take it. But lastly, also, Chair, I think I heard from the Commission that they are just mentioning most of the cases that they have dealt with is the cases which are dealing with black people. And our counterpart here, when they are talking about, when they are dealing with issues which involve white people, there's a lot of noise. I think the Commission, it's important that you do your work without fear of any failure. You are not going to choose which cases, especially those ones of black people that you have to deal with. Deal with all cases equally. We will be coming next time and then we will also monitor it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Kola, you want to conclude the meeting?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the part that relates to the irregular expenditure, the consequence management, and the nature of what has been answered by the CEO. But equally, let's commend the Commission for having installed the legal services. It's quite a good strategy to for the reasons of cost management. Chair, the Commission, as I'm promoting, the Commission acknowledges the business. And part of what they are saying is this witness are based on a limited resource operation, which I think we must not be too hard to them. Let's give support to them for the work they are doing under serious financial distress. It must not be ourselves who come and cast doubt in the work they are doing. We must be support based on the pain of the work and the mandate they are doing, for they are discharging the constitutional mandate of which we are custodians of. Can't be the ones who come and sponsor imaginary demonstrators and cast doubts where there are no such things in existence. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Let us just to say for a great meeting the full commission. In fact, we would certainly make more time to engage. There would also the education of police in the course of this whole term of this committee, perhaps also in joint inspection as a practical means of responding to the deputy chief. A member of this house and afraid to have him, and we will certainly take recommendations to that effect. There is a number of other current matters that you have placed for investigation. We will certainly have appreciate responses or updates in the situation that we raised in the last session when we met. We didn't ask now today, for time. We would appreciate that. And on the financial matter of the compliance issue, we want to write something to that if we didn't have all the facts today on the fire. But as I said, in the spirit of our eagerness, we're very happy to and share your football with regard to the clean audit for the NAQ in particular. That's the right step to move to the, what we call clean audit for that matter. And we will be engaging with the Justice Department early next week. Because there's always, you may want to, not always, but will indicate, you may want to have a representative sometimes at the briefing of the Justice. Several issues that raise so that there's a cohesion at all times. But let us thank you again for making time. We really appreciate it. I'm sure you should be back next week. My name is just to stand in here today. Thank you.